Like to turn to the Gospel according to Luke. Luke's Gospel, chapter 5, verse 27. It's on page 1228. Luke's Gospel, chapter 5, and verse 27. After these things he went forth and saw, he, that being Jesus, went forth and saw a tax gatherer, Levi by name, sitting at the receipt of taxes, and said to him, "Follow me." Having left all, rising up, he followed him. Levi made a great entertainment for him in his house. There was a great crowd of tax gatherers, others who were at table with them. Their scribes and the Pharisees murmured at his disciples, saying, "Why do ye eat and drink with tax gatherers and sinners?" Jesus answering said to them, "They that are in sound health have not need of a physician, but those that are ill. I am not come to call righteous persons, but simple ones to repentance." John's Gospel, page 1270, chapter 4, and we'll read from verse 4. And he, that again is Jesus, must needs pass through Samaria. Comes therefore to a city of Samaria called Sychar, near to the land which Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now a fountain of Jacob's was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with the way he had come, sat just as he was at the fountain. It was about the sixth hour. A woman comes out of Samaria to draw water. Jesus says to her, "Give me to drink," for his disciples have gone away into the city that they might buy provisions. The Samaritan woman therefore says to him, "How dost thou, being a Jew, ask to drink of me? For I am a Samaritan woman. The Jews have no intercourse with Samaritans." Jesus answered and said to her, "If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that says to thee, 'Give me to drink,' thou wouldest have asked of him. He would have given thee living water." And says to him, "Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Whence then hast thou the living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank of it himself, and his sons and his cattle?" Jesus answered and said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water shall thirst again. Whosoever drinks of the water which I shall give him shall never thirst forever. But the water which I shall give him shall become in him a fountain of water springing up into eternal life." The woman says to him, "Sir, give me this water, that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw." Verse 28. The woman then left her water pot, went away into the city, and says to the men, "Come, see a man who told me all things I had ever done. Is not he the Christ?" They went out of the city and came to him. Verse 39, but many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him because of the word of the woman who bore witness, "He told me all things I had ever done." When therefore the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to abide with them, and he abode there 2 days. More, a great deal believed on account of his word. And they said to the woman, "It is no longer on account of thy saying that we believe, for we have heard him ourselves, and we know that this indeed is the Saviour of the world." Lastly, in Acts of the Apostles in chapter 9. Acts chapter 9, and we'll start reading at verse 1. But Saul, still breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, came to the high priest and asked of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogue, so that if he found any who were on the way, both men and women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. But as he was journeying, it came to pass that he drew near to Damascus. Suddenly there shone round about him a light out of heaven, and falling on the earth, he heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why dost thou persecute me?" And he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Rise up and enter into the city. It should be told thee what thou must do." The men who were travelling with him stood speechless, hearing the voice, but beholding no one. Saul rose up from the earth, and his eyes being opened, he saw no one. But leading him by the hand, they brought him into Damascus. He was 3 days without seeing and neither ate nor drank. And there was a certain disciple in Damascus by name Ananias. And the Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias, he said, behold, here am I. And the Lord said to him, rise up and go into the street which is called Straight, and seek the house of Judas, one by name Saul. He is of Tarsus, for behold, he is praying. Seen in a vision, a man by name Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him, so that he should see. Ananias answered the Lord, I have heard from many concerning this man, how much evil he has done to thy saints at Jerusalem, and here has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call upon thy name. The Lord said to him, go, for this man is an elect vessel to me, to bear my name before both nations and kings, the sons of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. And Ananias went and entered into the house, laying his hand upon him, said, Saul, brother, the Lord has sent me, Jesus, that appear to thee in the way which thou camest, that thou mightest see and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Straightway there fell from his eyes, as it were, scales, and he saw, rising up, was baptized, having received food, got strength. And he was with the disciples who were in Damascus certain days. And straightway in the synagogues he preached Jesus. He is the Son of God. Sorry for reading so much, but I didn't really know how to break it up. But I have read of three persons who the Lord personally called. Of course, actually, it's true that everyone needs to be personally called by the Lord Jesus. I could have read of many more, but these three I read particularly because of the contrasts which mark their backgrounds and their lifestyles. But every single one of them shows the deep grace of God to them. And of course the gospel preaching goes out tonight, dear friend, because the Lord Jesus would like to speak to you. He would like to call you to follow him. We've sung of the glory that surrounds him now. But you know, dear friend, he came to this very earth. And he suffered and he died on Calvary's cross to bear the judgment of sin that stood out against the whole creation and against men like you and I. Went into death and rose again the third day, as it says according to the scriptures, that the gospel preaching might go out tonight, and that there might be a message of salvation offered to you. Amen. That can only be so, dear friend, because God's righteous judgment of sin has been met to his divine and righteous satisfaction. Let us get these things straight at the very beginning of the gospel preaching. But this first scripture in Luke speaks of the Lord coming not to call righteous persons, but sinful ones to repentance. Mm. That, dear friends, includes every single one in this room tonight. You may not like to think of yourself as a sinner. You may like to compare yourself to various other persons and say, oh, well, they've done worse things than I have, quite likely. But it doesn't matter, dear friends. The scripture tells us that all have sinned. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Have sinned may well be past tense, but come short of the glory of God is very much present tense, dear friend. And that applies to every single one of us this very night. But I was attracted to this calling of Levi. Could probably look forward to a secure pension for many years to come, provided, of course, he remained alive. But what happens? Jesus sees him and calls him. Said to him, follow me. Having left all, rising up, he followed him. Mm. We often hear people speak about if they won the lottery, they would leave their job tomorrow. But here is a man who had nothing other than the attraction of Jesus before him. And tonight, dear friends, in the glad tidings, I would like to present the attractiveness of Jesus to you. Mm. He's worth following, dear friend, for he will never, ever, ever let you down. Mm. Levi or Matthew found that, and he could write a gospel for us to read. But this man says he left all, rising up, followed him. Made an entertainment for the Lord Jesus in his house. And then, of course, there were the critics. Of course, the tax gatherers in those days were a despised class of people. Things haven't probably changed very much. The thing is, some of them, I believe, were perhaps a little corrupt. But, you know, there were those who were self-righteous who said, why do his disciples eat and drink with tax gatherers and sinners? Well, dear friend, the Lord Jesus came to call sinners to follow him. Levi clearly realised that he was a sinner. And he realised that he needed Jesus far more than he needed his secure job. And he cast his lot in with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I don't think he ever regretted it. Dear friend, the Lord Jesus would come to call you tonight. He would come to this very room to speak to you. And he would ask you, dear friend, to follow him. He's worth following, dear friend, because he has secured your eternal destiny if you will put your faith and trust in him. You know, what do you hope for? Spoke of some people who hope to win the lottery. Some people hope to make great riches. But you know, dear friend, as we know, all these things end in death. What about after death? You know, the enemy of your soul would seek to tell you that death is the end. You know, oblivion is a great lie of the devil. Mark that, dear friend. Mark that. I think it's a very sobering thing that I understand in one of the theme parks of this country, there is a ride that is called Oblivion. Sobering thing that, isn't it? Especially when you think of what we were speaking about this afternoon. Dear friend, after death, the judgment. Each one of us must die. Each one of us must face God's judgment, dear friend. Don't let the enemy of your soul try to tell you that death is the end. Not come to call righteous persons, but sinful ones to repentance. You might well put in that in there. I'm not come to call self-righteous persons, but sinful ones to repentance. You know, we can maybe all get occupied with our righteousnesses. But you know, it says that even our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Mm. Solemn thing that, isn't it? What are you going to present God to God, dear friend? You going to say, oh, I've done this, or I've done that, or I've paid this, and I've paid that, I've paid the other? Dear friend, our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. The only righteousness we can claim is the righteousness that has been secured through the precious death of our Lord Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Come to John chapter 4. Here we have a woman who the Lord Jesus specifically went to meet. Says he must needs pass through Samaria. Why did he need to go that way? Normally a Jew would have walked around Samaria. The Lord Jesus needed to go to Samaria because he needed to meet this woman. The Lord Jesus knew that this woman was going to be there. The woman didn't know that the Lord Jesus was going to be there. Says it was the sixth hour. I understand that was an hour where people wouldn't normally go to draw water from the well. This woman came to the well at the sixth hour. She might have been somewhat surprised to see this person, especially a Jew, sitting there. And the Lord Jesus enters into conversation with her. Ask her a simple question. She knew that it wasn't right for Jews to have dealings with Samaritans. She says that to him. What does he say? He says, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that says to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, he would have given thee living water. Yes, dear friend, the gift of God, free and full salvation through the precious shed blood of Jesus. That is what is offered in the glad tidings, dear friend. And that is yours for the taking, if you will take it, you know. It's only if you will take it. If you refuse and rebel, dear friend, maybe the last opportunity you get. Solemn thing to walk out of that door tonight as unsaved. Thou wouldest have asked of him, he would have given thee living water. This draws out a more extended conversation. And we see, didn't read it, I don't want to really go too much into this poor woman's history, but she realised anyway that she was a sinner. She realised that she had a need. But she found someone who could provide her need, not only for time, but for eternity. Dear friend, it's the same one who Levi found. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. He went that way specifically to meet her. And he went to Calvary's cross to suffer and to die for this woman's sins and yours and mine, if you will put your faith and trust in him, dear friend. Whosoever drinks of the water which I shall give him shall never thirst forever. But the water which I shall give him shall become in him a fountain of water springing up into eternal life. Yes, dear friend, what does thought of eternal life conjure up? There's a lawyer that came to the Lord Jesus and asked to receive eternal life. Having done what might I inherit? Eternal life. He thought he had a right to it. We understand that this man had lots of possessions, and it would appear from the narrative of as if he wanted to live forever in his possessions. What a poor situation that would be, dear friend. The eternal life that the Lord Jesus offers is the full knowledge of God, the full knowledge of free and full salvation with a holy and righteous God. That relationship, which was interrupted in the very first instance by the incoming of sin, might be re-established. And it might be re-established, dear friend, not on the basis of glossing over or covering up or any other such thing, on the basis of the righteousness that is found alone in Jesus, because he has met the righteous judgment, God's righteous judgment of sin, in shedding his blood upon Calvary's cross. In the great day when the destroying angel went through the Egypt, the Israelites were told, when I see the blood, I will pass over. Dear friend, the blood of Jesus was shed as a far better sacrifice, even from that sacrificial lamb. You know, God can say righteously, when I see the blood, I have a righteous basis in time to pass over your sins, because my full judgment has been met. That judgment was met in the 3 hours of darkness upon Calvary's cross. You know, think of that, those 3 hours that clothed in darkness. At the end of it, you know, Lord Jesus, it says he gave up his spirit. Having said this, he expired. The result was that the veil of the temple, there was a great earthquake, and the veil of the temple rent into from the top to the bottom. God could come out in blessing because his righteous claims of justice had been met, and they'd been met in full. Wonderful thing that, dear friend. None can then bring a challenge against those who trust in Jesus, because God's righteous claims have been met to his full satisfaction. It's not exactly how much you understand it that matters, dear friend. It's what God sees. When I see the blood, I will pass over. Dear friend, those people in that house would have had to have faith in that blood on the doorpost and the lintel. They would have, when they put it there, they put it there in faith, because they were taking God at his word. That's what God asks you to do tonight, to take him at his word and accept his free offer of grace, which is found alone in the precious shed blood of Jesus. I read about Saul of Tarsus, because he, again, is another man who was visited personally by Jesus. This time, of course, it was not when Jesus was walking here on the face of this earth. He met him from the glory, from his exalted position. But you know, here was a man who was what many might describe as the worst kind of person possible. He's effectively a terrorist. He was breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord. He was catching them all up, taking them away bound, and putting them all to death. The least deserving soul, you might say. And in fact, of course, Paul himself, after he gets his name changed, he says, he claims to be the chief of sinners. But you know, the grace of God was such that it could even meet the chief of sinners. While actually engaged in this wicked work that he was doing, a light from heaven shone about upon the road that he was on, you know. Oh, that light from heaven might shine in this room tonight, dear friend, that might obliterate anything other than the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. That would be my desire in this occasion tonight. He heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why dost thou persecute me? You might have thought he could have said, well, I'm not persecuting you. I'm putting to death these silly religious Christian people. But no, the Lord says, why dost thou persecute me? What does he say? Who art thou, Lord? What a wonderful thing, you know. The chief of sinners brought down to the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. A man in repentance, dear friend. If you are to benefit from the glad tidings, you must come to Jesus in repentance, you know. You must come to God in repentance and put your faith and trust in Jesus. Goes back to our first scripture, doesn't it? I'm not come to call righteous persons, but sinful ones to repentance. Repentance towards God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Those are the terms of the glad tidings, dear friend. Don't let them be too simple for you to lay hold of them. This man Saul, he was brought to the ground. And this great man ended up being led by the hand into the city that he was going into as a great power to take away Christians and to put them to death. What a solemn thing, isn't it, you know? I read about Ananias because I didn't particularly want to speak so much about that, but it gives the narrative as to how, when he laid his hands upon him, Saul, brother, the Lord has sent me, Jesus, that appeared to thee in the way that thou camest, that thou mightest see and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Oh, what a different spirit Saul would have been filled with, wouldn't he, from that point onwards. It says, straightway there fell from his eyes, as it were, scales, and he saw, rising up, was baptized, having received food, got strength, and he was with the disciples who were in Damascus certain days. You know, those very people he was going to go and take away, cast them into prison and perhaps put to death. You know, he was there as their guest. What a wonderful divine trophy of grace, isn't it? Dear friend, the worst kind of man can be saved. So that means that you and I can as well. Most of us probably can't remember all of our sins. Probably can't remember most of them, actually, if we're honest. But you know, if we come to Jesus, come to the Lord Jesus in repentance, there is grace there to meet us. And we can find that his blood was shed for us. We can be made righteous before God. We can receive God's seal of his love upon us, the gift of the Holy Spirit, you know. That perhaps refers a little bit to the water of life that the woman in the previous section was given. Amen. Might spring up to eternal life. Amen. In Christ Jesus our Lord. God would delight to give you his Holy Spirit, you know. He doesn't withhold his free gifts from us. All he requires is a simple acceptance of his wonderful offer of salvation. What a transformation took place in Saul's life, didn't it? Received the Holy Spirit, straightway there fell from his eyes, as it were, scales, rising up, was baptized. Yes, complete and utter separation from his former life with the disciples certain days, and straightway in the synagogues he preached that Jesus, he is the Son of God. You know, that he'd seen the Lord Jesus
in the glory. He'd seen something of the glory of Jesus. And it never left him. In fact, of course, it increased with him as he went on his pathway. We can read through passages that Paul wrote in the scriptures. It showed the appreciation that he had of the grace that had met him. If then that same grace is available towards you and towards me tonight, let us lay hold of it for the praise and glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.